watch. What you wanna watch?
Scooby-ba-da-wa-ba-ba. Hello and welcome back to Netflix Has No Chill. I'm Zach.
I'm Adriana.
It's been a couple weeks.
Has it?
We have struggled to find something to watch, to be honest.
Okay.
You've been out of town a little bit.
For a weekend traveling. I was gone.
Yeah, so, you know, we're back at it here.
Yes.
Are we doing a mini review today? This is something I forgot to ask you earlier.
Ooh.
Is there anything we want to do a small review of?
Okay, I don't think I've spoken about this, but there is a show right now that everybody's kind of going crazy for, or not everybody, but select few, called Tidying Up with Marie
Kondo.
Thank you. I don't know.
I don't know. We watched one episode together. The real question is, does it spark joy?
That's what you got to ask yourself about everything.
Right.
Does it spark joy? And that's what she taught me. Honestly, that could be quote of the day. Does it spark joy?
Hilarious. Not even related to anything.
No.
But, well, I mean, kind of related.
Does
thematically
it,
related to what we're going to be talking about.
Spark joy. Yeah. Exactly. But basically, she just teaches you how to, like, what the title says, tidy up your
right.
place.
How to get your life
yeah.
together.
And how to, like, use your space effectively.
Right.
And realize that we all have a lot of stuff.
Right.
That we don't
Yeah,
need.
She's like this dispassionate third person who just comes into your house and is like, well, you're not doing these things well.
Yeah.
Like, you could use this for this and this for that and put your things over here. And,
yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wow, I guess I could have done that the whole time, but but it's interesting because it's done as sort of like a home makeover style
in a way
show,
yeah
right?
Like come back to the couple
right so and... they do multiple visits throughout
yeah.
the time. So she shows up and is like, you need to clean these five things, and then bye,
I'll be back in a week, thank you.
Yeah. And so yeah. they do that, and you know, things, it's my guess is that the pattern of the show is the first 10 minutes it's really difficult for the family. They're like, we'll learn about all
yeah.
their problems and how any amount of cleaning up is too much for them, and then by the end they're like, oh man, we could have been doing this whole time, we're a lot happier now, life
yeah.
is better. Because that's, I think, what people need right now is that idea of like somebody to come in and say, hey, pick up your shit
and
man.
help me.
Yeah,
help
show
me.
I'll show you how. You just need to keep doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's worth keeping doing this.
It's more the consistency. It's not
yeah.
so much the what do I do?
Right, it's easy
it's
to understand.
It's just like, keep doing it.
But
it's like working out.
It really is.
It's like, you can lose weight.
Monumental
changes. Just keep working out. This is what I gotta keep telling myself.
With small steps.
Yeah, but overall, I know this wasn't a show that interested you a lot. You're
no.
not. It doesn't spark joy in you.
So correct.
Yes.
I think what she is doing is great, and I'm glad that the show exists. It's just not a show for me. Like, I don't find joy watching it.
Yeah.
I
feel like,
I get it too,
because I'm like, I don't need this to be 45 something minutes long.
Right.
It can be
22
15
minutes.
Or
7.
And I get it.
Yeah. They tidy up.
Yeah, they clean. But
there's just no dramatic hook for me, because every episode, they tidy up.
I don't know if I was, like, in just an emotional state when I watched this, but I straight up cried. like I was very happy that you weren't near me, because you were watching it from, like, the dining table.
Yeah. We weren't sitting
there. And you were, like, playing
couch.
Games on
I
your phone.
I was just, like, listening
yeah.
more as a podcast, almost.
And I was over here, like, actively watching it, and I was in tears.
Were you?
Yeah.
I do need to pick up my things. You're so right. I deserve better.
It was just, no, she was just saying things that were very relevant to my life at that moment.
Right.
One of those is, like, does it spark joy? Does it not spark joy?
Yeah, it's such a concrete way to, like, get
yeah.
to the point, to the heart
yeah.
of any issue is,
which
does
was,
it spark joy?
It was nice. It was a nice way of, like, figuring out, like, do you need that shirt in your closet that you've had
right.
for, like, all last year, and how often have you worn it?
Does the what-if situation you have that shirt for actually happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, but I think I took it in on a deeper level as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, am I happy? Like, it was
right.
just so
emotionally,
many. Yeah, emotionally.
Is it sparking joy?
Am I sparked? It was my joy sparked.
Right. Does it apply to my job now too?
Yeah,
crap.
Like everything. But it was a good episode for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Is
it's
it something
not,
you'll revisit?
Maybe. I guess I feel like none of the other episodes seemed appealing to me.
Okay, because I feel like after 5 minutes, I got all I was ever going to get
yeah.
from that show. You
this
know
wasn't
mean?
The same as watching a show like Queer Eye.
Right. There's so, it's something very different than Queer Eye, even though...
Do you
think
it's the language barrier?
Maybe.
She does speak, like Japanese.
In, correct. In yeah, she has a translator and stuff. Yeah, has a translator. It might be that. It'd be interesting to see, like, her doing this in Japan.
Is that like, where she, with, I think so, right?
With, like, people who speak the same language as her, with like, without a translator somehow, mm-hmm. and see how she interacts with others, like, in a more naturalistic way.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. Maybe it is that. Maybe it also is that when you have, you know, Queer Eye, you have a group of people coming in to deal with one person, whereas she's one person dealing with a group of people.
Yeah, and so I feel like with Queer Eye, you get more variety in your host.
Yeah, and what you're there for is the relationships between the five hosts.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
and they're the funny, actual situations. You know?
Right, exactly. I'm there for the conversations they're having and how they're reacting to what I'm seeing.
Yeah, whereas exactly.
You don't really get that with tidying up. So it's just a different thing. It reminds me of like a DIY house show.
It's definitely something that you would watch on like one of those house.
Yeah, the DIY network.
Is that what it is? Yeah. There's a network for it? I didn't know that.
DIY, do it yourself network.
Yeah. All right, but that was the mini review. It was okay.
Okay. So
the funny thing out of this thing more than anything is that I went to my sister's house. So I've been gone. For the weekend, last weekend. It was my sister's 30th birthday.
Right, so you went
and
to
we partied
visit.
Hard.
Yeah.
Because as Mexicans do, we party hard.
It was a 4-day party.
It was. But when I got there, I realized that they had a whole bunch of clothes on their dining room table.
Amazing.
Both their clothes. And I was just like,
Oh, what? Someone's tidying up.
Yeah, that's
huh?
exactly the first thing I came in. I was like, is someone tidying up?
Amazing.
And then they started laughing, and Isaac was like, shut up. And it was funny because my sister was like, come look at my closet. And compared to how she used to have her closet, which was like
just
how I have my closet
full, yeah.
right now, she had it so organized, and it was like almost color coordinated in a way. And folded in the way that she folds.
Mm-hmm.
She teaches you to fold your clothes
yep.
so that you have, like, you could see it the most.
Right.
To
display what the object is.
Exactly. To spark that happiness again.
Right.
You know? And she did all that. So I'm so proud of her.
It takes a lot of work.
A lot of work to do that.
It is a decision you have to make.
Like, I've been thinking about it, and I still haven't
gotten
there.
You went out and bought boots today.
I've just been adding more.
I know.
I just keep adding.
Like, fuck it. I don't need to get rid of anything.
I'm just going to buy boots.
Yeah, I'll deal with that later. Mm-hmm. I'll deal with the cleanup later. I don't think I've actually looked inside my closet actually since we moved here. So
I know.
It's
probably
know how
something I know?
We need to do. Maybe that's why I didn't like the show. It was a little bit too real for me.
It
was too relevant.
It is. I think that's why I was crying too. Because
maybe,
I was like, because remember, this was the weekend that I decided like I needed to remodel.
Right, right.
Like, I was already thinking all of that stuff and then I watched the show.
You were in a tidying up place.
Where it's something that you need to do in your home.
If you're needing a reason to start the spring cleaning, for instance, start with tidying
or the
up.
New year, like
getting if you're trying
getting
to get your chore regimen
and
restarted,
you need some sort of inspiring thing to get you going.
This
maybe,
is definitely
if that was one of your New Year's resolutions, then do it.
If you've been reading Jordan Peterson and you're trying to pick up your room, this is a good way to get you started there.
Did you see that blank smile I gave you?
You're like, Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Sure. All right, shall we move into our feature discussion today?
Yes.
So this episode, we're talking about the Fire documentary.
Fire. It's fire.
F-Y-R-E. Fire on Netflix,
yes.
Obviously. Hilariously, Hulu released their own version of this documentary, basically.
Around the same time.
Like the day before. So Netflix had spent weeks advertising that this documentary was coming out.
Yeah.
And then Hulu was like,
"What are we?
We'll drop
do?
It the day before and tell nobody." And so that's what they did.
Oh.
It's interesting because we have these two different documentaries that are made by completely different sets of people about the same subject.
Yeah.
And apparently they're pretty different approaches. I watched a little bit of the Hulu one. But it was less interesting than this one.
Okay.
We'll get into that. So,
So the reason I like kind of wanted to watch this was because the trailer that comes on while you have it on the Netflix menu.
Sure, the little thumbnail reel.
Is very interesting. You're just like seeing these models. I'm pretty sure this is the same tactic that was used to get people to buy these tickets.
It's made by the people who produced the event.
Yeah, it's right. That's insanity to me. But yeah. But it makes sense. I was watching that little the trailer, and I was just like, whoa, I want to watch this.
What is this? Yeah, what are they talking about? Yeah.
Like, I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think I skipped it. I don't think I watched it.
Well, it took us a couple weeks to watch it after it came out. Yeah.
And then I think we switched to Hulu, actually, and realized that that same thing was on there as well. But I knew that I had to watch it. I think it was all validated when one of my coworkers told me that he watched it. And he was like, oh, dude, it's just such a shit show. And it's insane, like, that this is real and stuff. And I was like, well, I got to see it. Then I gotta know.
I guess I gotta watch it.
Yeah. And then the more that he discussed it, the more I realized, oh, I remember seeing something on the internet like a couple years ago or a year ago.
Yeah.
About a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
A sandwich with cheese on it. And people being like, this is what we got at the festival. And part of me was like, okay.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what?
I'm not invested in your anger.
Also,
at all.
I don't know. Whenever I imagine people going to a festival, I don't think the first thing I think of is like incredible food, which I'm sure people who go to festivals are like, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
incredible food is
clearly
part of it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, at least you got
I've
food.
Been to zero music festivals,
yeah, like,
so I have no idea what they're
what
like.
You're expecting.
But I guess it's probably better than bread with a single piece of cheese
and
a piece of
lettuce on the side. Yeah.
So funny.
I do remember that.
But also, I had the, when that thing was tweeted, I definitely had the reaction of, oh, well, all these rich people, who gives a fuck? like they spent a whole bunch of money on a thing that was shittier than they expected. Oh, well, moving along. Like, that was my investment at the time.
It wasn't like, oh, kids are starving, or like, it wasn't anything like that drastic.
Right.
It wasn't something where like, kids who barely raised enough money to go to like a foreign exchange program get stuck on an island.
Right,
you know,
right.
It wasn't something drastic. It was just like people.
Yeah, there was
wanted
nothing
to go to
that,
a music festival.
Yeah, it was like music festival gone wrong. I'm like,
okay. Cool.
And like everything about the description of it made it obvious that it would be a failure. Like on a island in the Bahamas.
That could
like,
honestly be the log line for it. The easiest, cheapest log line. Music festival gone wrong.
Right. I mean, that's
what that is.
The simple premise of this documentary. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who do you think would enjoy watching this documentary?
Because honestly, I think this ranges.
Yeah, it's
I
got
think
a pretty
it definitely
wide range.
Ranges
yeah.
Because my coworker who told me about it is like a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, I would say in his early 40s.
Okay.
And he liked it.
Okay.
I'm a girl in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm. In your 20s.
In my 20s. And I liked it. I feel like I'm sure that if I talk to my younger cousin about this too, who's barely going to be 18, is also like, oh, that was cool.
Yeah, I think you're totally right that it's easy to understand how bad of a situation. Like, the documentary is very well made, and so it's very easy to watch, I think. Do you think, though, that somebody who's not connected to those, like, somebody who doesn't have an Instagram account, do you think they're even interested in this?
A little, because I did have this discussion with somebody where they were discussing how, like, they were like, well, the ad for the music festival itself just looked like stock footage.
Right.
They didn't understand that there's, like, production value in Instagram.
Right.
That, like, no, that shit is real. And he was like, no, I thought that was, like, you know, just stuff they recorded for, like, a perfume.
Sure, that
for,
they
like,
bought
you know,
for, that
for something else.
For
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's real stuff.
Yeah, that's money.
So I think, if anything, people who aren't close to this newer technology of Instagram and whatever.
Sure.
It's not that new, but for them it is.
Given humanity, it's pretty damn new.
Yeah. I think this could be an interesting thing to watch because
maybe, like,
you're just like,
because
you're just like, wow, that does have power.
Yeah,
you
it,
have
it
to
shows
realize
a side,
it has power.
Yeah, it's no longer disputable whether or not Instagram affects people's lives. Let's put it that way. Like, there are certain technologies that come along when they first arrive. You're like, what is, like, who the fuck is going to buy this?
Exactly.
Who wants this thing?
Yeah.
And then And then they become, you know, the Twitters and the Instagrams, and you're like, well, there's clearly an audience for them.
And that's funny. I'm not, I don't use Twitter that much.
Right, me neither.
I hardly use it. I don't even check in.
I'm a spectator, basically.
No, I'm not even a spectator.
Maybe once a day.
But it makes me think maybe I do need to get a little more involved on Twitter and understand it and be part of this culture a little more because there's strength in it.
Yeah, there's certainly something happening there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that's interesting about this documentary, regardless of the topic, is that the people who produced this festival, the Fuck Jerry Media people, are involved in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because how it, the way they position themselves in the documentary is that they were brought on like halfway into this process to basically put up the marketing campaign,
mm-hmm.
right? That they're a great Instagram marketing company. And so this other company hired them to market their festival. And so they did that. And because this crazy asshole recorded everything, they thought they were going to make a documentary about the success of the Fyre Festival. Yeah. And then at the end, they were like, oh, Jesus Christ, we're have watching this disaster movie, yeah. basically, documentary. Does it feel like compromising to you in any way? Is it weird?
In a way, because I feel like the people who are being like interviewed in this documentary, most of them are trying to paint themselves as like we're innocent.
We're just along for the ride, bro.
We thought this was gonna work.
Yeah.
But I'm like, there had to be someone, and that's why I wonder if they didn't interview. There was one person who was like the right hand man almost of, is his name Billy?
Yeah, Billy's the main dude, yeah.
Yeah, Billy is the main guy. He is like never mind. I was gonna say like the Donald Trump of this of this, like
Ja Rule's the Donald Trump of this whole thing.
Yeah, Ja Rule is like the Donald Trump of this whole thing. But he's basically the brain behind this whole fiasco. Not Ja Rule.
I'm talking about Billy. Who is the right hand of Billy? Somebody
the
who's
right
not
hand
really
of Billy is the guy who was like neurotic. The guy who was who was like, I'm not a perfectionist, but I need everything to be perfect.
And you're like, okay.
Okay, got it. All right. We got
he's
it.
He's a little, histrionic.
He had some crazy eyes.
Yeah, he did have crazy eyes.
Yeah.
He had crazy energy through a camera.
Yeah.
Like, that's how.
Exactly. So I feel like that guy knew, and I feel like that's why they didn't interview him.
Interesting.
But I feel like some of these people had to have known that like, this needed to be stopped. But I can totally see how you're along for the ride and you're like, I'm sorry, but it's my job. At some point, I have to just go along with it. And I have to believe that right. it's going to succeed.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, it is. Because in some parts of history, you can't use that logic. Like, you can't do that for Nazis. You can't say they were just doing their job. But, like, on some level, they were, right?
Yeah.
And so the same thing is happening here, but in a very different context, right?
That's just a very people exaggerated
like,
version
right, that's
of them.
The evil, exaggerated version, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is the version that
this
is
the
weirdly,
millennial
yeah, millennial,
version of,
like, trying
of
to
it.
Sell out. Like,
yeah.
just like, I don't know, man, we're just putting on a music, hope it's gonna work.
Yeah.
I didn't mean, I'm not saying that, like, trying to equate them, I'm just saying that, like.
Yeah. No, let's just say that was
they're
a
also
really
just doing their job. Yeah, that's the extreme of
it's
that
okay.
spectrum.
I compared Ja Rule to Donald Trump, so it's not.
You know, I feel like they'd hang out together well. Like, they love the same things. They love partying. They
it's
love
not
cocaine.
Fraud.
They love
okay,
women.
Guys, it's not fraud. It's just false advertisement.
Right.
Is what
right.
I can. Who said that? Who said that? Ja Rule or Donald Trump? Like,
are you advocating for fraud? No. It's not fraud. It's false advertising. Oh, okay, Ja Rule, thank
Sorry,
you.
You're right. But before we get too ahead of ourselves,
yeah,
let's just kind of discuss kind of what this whole story is about.
Sure. I mean, you said it best already.
Festival
goes wrong.
Gone wrong. Music festival gone wrong.
Music festival goes wrong, yeah.
But there's a brain in this whole operation,
yeah,
and
so
that's
this,
Billy.
This dude, Billy McFarlane, who looks like the washed-up estranged cousin of
Seth MacFarlane. I really, like, I feel like they may be distant cousins.
Or do you feel like, to me, they feel like different versions of the same person from multiple realities. Like,
yes.
In one version, he became this,
yes.
like, huckster. In one version, he made Family Guy.
Yeah.
And so this Billy McFarlane.
Because they're both, in a way, like, kind of in way too into themselves. Like, big heads.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
And so he is this dude who definitely a huckster. Like, he just is looking, he's just going fraud to fraud, trying to get people to give him money for no reason, with as little work as possible on his end. So he started this credit card company.
Yeah, Magnesis. Which
was just another credit card, basically.
Yeah.
And had, like...
It was almost as though he was trying to create this, like, black card. Like, you know, everybody knows what the black credit card is, and that's, like, the unlimited amount. But he wanted to create, like, a different version of it.
Right.
Where it like, had this luxury to it.
And you didn't have... There were no boundaries to joining it. Right, there were, it was
really confusing, honestly. The more I kept hearing about it, I was just like, wait, what?
Right, he is a person who continually tries to find, like, loopholes where you can put flashy paint on a very simple thing and extort people, essentially, right?
Because I didn't get this idea of, like, people can, like, party together if they were part of this credit card.
Right, so basically, you were joining, like, a club membership.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the idea. Like, and so you would get monthly events, you would get access to, you know, discounts and rewards, things like that.
Which makes, I mean, the discounts and rewards make sense, but I'm like, what is this whole thing of, like, getting together?
Right.
Of having, like, a party
with other people that have the same credit card as you?
That's fucking weird.
That's, like, that is the thing that bonds everybody?
Yeah. Like, who would think, oh, I'm going to go party with these Bank of America people?
Yeah, what? Do they work at Bank of America? No, we all just bank at Bank of America. Excuse me? You're going to party? Like, that is absurd, right?
Okay,
so that's where he started. Somehow people saw that and were like, oh, this guy knows his shit. Let's give him more money.
Yeah.
So that dude ended up with a lot of money. They're flying over the Bahamas for some reason, just on a private jet, I'm sure, just, you know, doing what you're doing.
Just a Saturday, typical Saturday.
They see this island, and they can't figure out what's going on there, so they radio it, no response. They land there, they check it out, it seems pretty deserted, and they have this fucking idea, what if we had a music festival here?
Not a bad idea.
Pretty interesting
idea. Like, not a bad idea.
Island plus music festival, good.
That sounds fucking... Honestly, like, if Beyonce were performing on an island, I'd be so down.
Why don't they buy Carter Island and make it, like, the fucking Jurassic Park of, like, the music industry, where you just go and there's different,
it's
you
like
know,
Beyonce,
music.
Rihanna, yeah. Lady Gaga.
Like Friday through Sunday, or, like, Thursday through Sunday, this island is a music festival every week, and they just have a rotating.
Every week? That's crazy.
Yeah, no, you don't have to go every week. You can... There's just always an event you can go to at this island.
Like, every month. Yeah. After watching this music festival, babe, get, like, come on.
If you were to... Okay, we'll brainstorm this idea another time. Anyways, not a bad idea, right? Mm-hmm. Ja Rule's there. He's interested in doing that too, right? Because they're trying to do some weird-ass app about hiring musicians for,
yeah, it's basically
like
this was an idea.
Parties.
Oh, this was an idea I had when I was like 7. I don't know why they think
before
they're so
apps
cool.
Were even invented.
I hand wrote a letter to Britney Spears and was like, hey, my birthday is on this day. I'd really appreciate it if you could stop by. Like, I mailed it. Like, I know. I mailed this fan mail to Britney Spears asking her to sing at my birthday party.
That would be
and like the whole
it.
Day,
you
like I
like,
was
dude,
like,
there is...
I was like, there's the possibility.
Look, I know there's not a good chance Britney's really busy, but I think she got my letter, and
she
if I know Britney, she is willing to, you know, put herself out there for her friends.
Go to Arizona.
She might come
down
here and make an appearance.
Yep, that's what I was hoping. Didn't happen.
That's too
bad.
You know, very slim chance.
There's still the possibility that someday she'll get that mail late.
Billy McFarlane was like, that kid is onto something. Let me make an app that allows anybody to do that somehow.
Yeah. Weddings,
what?
Birthdays, quinceañeras.
Okay.
You want Ja Rule?
Do you think that would actually, one, happen? Do you think people would use that app successfully?
One, it did happen.
What do you mean it did happen?
So, this is crazy, but Beyonce actually went to a wedding in, like, India somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And gave a performance, like, for a wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this is for the daughter of, like, the richest
sure,
man on earth.
I'm not asking whether or not you could hire somebody for a party. I'm just saying, do you think an app that allows you to hire musicians
I just
for
think
a party, it, like, is... that going to be used by people? Like, it doesn't seem like an app. The Uber of hiring people for your music.
I can't believe that was event.
I get needing rides often, right? I don't have to hire. I don't have to book people for events very often. That's a once in a few years type of thing.
A blue moon sort of thing. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's an interesting thing, because how interesting if you're like, oh God, I would love to hire this person. Let me just see what is the possibility.
If there are 1,000 people who love using that app, then maybe it makes money, I guess, but it doesn't seem like $1 million idea to me. Whatever. So then beyond that app, which somehow gets funding and people seem interested in making it, they decide to advertise this app with a festival.
Yeah, that's when you know shit's going too crazy. You already have two.
You've got a lot going
two
on.
Two ideas
here,
that
right?
are way too big.
And none of these things exist by themselves to begin with. Mm-hmm. And now you're doing both of them simultaneously. Okay. Seems ambitious. What's your qualifications? Do you have a lot of experience in these fields? No, nothing. You don't know anybody. You have no connections, no money, no experience. And you're going to hire a whole bunch of fucking idiots.
This is like that YouTube video where the person's like, and that's when he knew he fucked up. That's what I was expecting. I was just like, Ja Rule doing like, let's do it. And then like pause.
At one point, didn't they show a video of Ja Rule and them like talking about their three favorite things? Like money, booze, and porn. Like, we're going to
drink
like rock stars.
Oh, it's a song.
Like,
it's like... Party like a rock star, drink like an all-star, fuck like a porn star.
Yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
Something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
like their...
That was like an infamous line. It's in a song, and I think it might be because of that.
They did that as the toast. That was their common toast.
That's great.
At this business.
Oh, no, that's a pinkies up
How
kind of toast.
How yeah, so this all is like maybe 6 months, it feels like. This is a very fast burning
fire festival. Okay, so from the moment that like I heard, okay, this guy wants to do a music festival on an island, I was like, minimum a year.
Yeah.
That's all I knew.
You gotta build that bitch
already
up.
I was like, minimum a year, and maybe it's possible.
Right.
This guy decided to do it. I think it was he gave some people 6 to 8 weeks, remember?
Yeah.
He gave some people like such a short time and was like, help me.
Right. Well, the problem was that they built this website because that's what they do really well. They build websites and advertise really well.
Yeah, more than
really
anything, they're really good at
Right.
Look
that's
at
my
this,
point.
Is
they're
this,
hucksters.
Yeah.
They know exactly what people are interested in because they work on these, you know, social media platforms.
Yeah.
But they actually make nothing. So when they get everybody's attention, which they do really well by putting up this flashy website, they shoot this dope like music video basically with all of the most expensive models in the world.
Yeah.
They basically just have this beautiful party on this island advertising what could be the experience.
The most unforgettable music festival you were ever experience on your life on Pablo Escobar's island.
Right. Right.
Which already you're just like, Pablo Escobar, 2, music festival, 3.
Why are these models here?
Bella Hadid.
What is she doing on the island?
Yeah, like, hi.
Is that Ja Rule in the background?
Yeah, like, what?
Yes, it is so confounding the entire time. And so it just feels like this beautiful illusion, and that is just like, what am I looking at? Okay,
yeah,
I guess I'm giving you money.
I know, I feel like probably most people were like, this can't be real.
Yeah.
And then they saw the price and they were like, maybe it's real.
I guess it is real because
tickets ranged from like, I think it's never really clear, but from what I understand, from $500 to $25,000 was a ticket.
$25,000 like tent package, right? Where you get like a beach tent.
You get airfare.
Right.
You get like food from like celebrity chefs. And you get to hang out with.
It seems like they sold maybe 500 or 1,000 tickets they had allotted, right? They basically set up this whole system of how people could pay them without giving any consideration to whether or not that would be realistic.
Yeah, like.
They, like, overbooked for the population possibility of the island. Like, that is insane. They exceeded capacity in the tickets they sold, essentially.
Yeah.
Without even thinking about that.
There was a guy who was flying the planes for them that was kind of helping them. He was like, let me help you a little bit. He's like, you know, you meet him and you're like, yo, who the fuck is this guy? He's like some Swiss person. I think he was like,
yeah, he had like Swedish. An Eastern Northern, like, European accent. Like taught himself how to fly his plane on Microsoft Simulator entirely.
Yeah. And I'm like, he's the guy who's flying people back and forth.
Ja Rule's on a fucking private jet with that guy. The fun, the things that he would do are like, you know, drop down to zero G's for them.
Yeah.
Like that
he
was.
He made them in zero. I can't believe that too. I'm just like, you went.
That was
somebody,
a crazy person flying a plane for a whole bunch of idiots with a lot of money.
Okay.
He was like, he would go up really high and then drop down. Like just.
The fact that this man told them, like, hey, you guys overpopulated. Have you guys thought about, you know,
you guys,
the
all of
toilet?
The basic questions.
Yeah.
He was asking them, like, where's everybody going to piss and shit? And they were like,
oh, we didn't think about it.
What do you mean? People have to do
can't
that?
Can't just piss and shit in the ocean?
Right. It's just 3 days.
Yeah. And then, like, the fact that he's asking them all these questions.
And they have no idea.
You know that something's wrong.
Yeah.
If this is the guy who's like.
And he's like, guys, I've never been to a music festival, and I think you have to have these things.
Yeah.
You guys don't seem to have any of those things. I don't think this is going to work. And they're like, yeah, yeah, you can leave. Goodbye. They just, like, got rid of him immediately.
I also wonder, were they thinking of having him as, like, the person
who
flies?
He was supposed to fly people there.
He's supposed to fly everybody there.
Can you imagine that dude flying, like, two people at a time?
And being like, oh, yes.
600-ish
festival
attendees.
I forgot.
A Swiss accent?
Yeah, I don't know what it sounds like, but it's something like, I got my
pilot license, you know, from
Microsoft.
Microsoft Simulator, flight simulator. Very, very good.
That's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's insanity. And just.
He had the craziness of, like, a Russian, though. Like, that
like,
no fucks given about
like
life.
Like, drink no matter,
had
all day.
3 shots before I get in the air.
Dude, this was just insanity. It's just, like, to think that these people can all get together and try to create something so possibly magical.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see them. And as an outsider, you're like, I know this is gonna fail. I kind of want to watch.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
I want to see what happens.
The writing is on all over every part of it the whole time. It's so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep cutting to, like, the interviews with people who are involved who are like, yeah, we thought it was going well at that point.
Because
like,
you really.
We could pull it together at this point.
You see those videos and you're like, oh, I could see how this could be an idea.
Yeah.
Ja Rule's involved. But.
Ja Rule.
Oh, man. I dislike Ja Rule a little more now that I watch this.
I greatly dislike Ja Rule.
But the memes that came out after this were phenomenal.
He is an abhorrent human
being. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they end up selling, I think, 95% of the tickets within, like, a couple days.
Immediately.
Yeah, which is shocking. That's, like, a huge success for a music festival.
Yeah, if there were an actual music festival.
Yeah.
It should be a success.
Yeah, and I think they started freaking out because maybe they thought people won't really buy this. You know, like, only a couple people will buy
this. It was really for the ad video.
Yeah.
Like, this whole thing should have stopped with that video.
They should have just made a music video.
They should have made that and been like, this is the type of experience using our app is, right? This is how easy it is to book your friends, right? We booked all of these models. You definitely can get Ja Rule if you need.
Yeah.
Like, that is the fantasy they should have been selling. This whole festival thing was a side endeavor.
Yeah.
Right? It's very strange, like, how this all, like, blew up in flames in their face, but... watching it go down is very entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think the reason... So I watched a little bit of the Hulu one, and it feels much more, like, removed and sort of like the making a murderer of this thing, right?
Yeah.
It's much more third person, this is what happened, the journalistic take. Whereas this one is made by Vice, and it's interviewing people who are in the room. It's using footage of those people. It's much more, like... And even the timeline of it is, like, the lead-up to the event.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just there for the, like, 6 months of, like, balls-to-the-wall shit. Until, like, the fire festival goes down in flames.
Yeah. great name for this festival.
Hilariously ironic. Like, they could not have chosen a better name if they knew it was going to end this way.
Yeah. But I wanted to talk a little bit about also this idea that if you bought a ticket that costs like $12,000 or more, you were going to get food from a celebrity chef. So I want to give a shout out to the celebrity chef. That. Honestly, the people who were at the Bahamas. So,
oh yeah.
Let me really quickly try to say all this. They advertised it as a party in Pablo Escobar's island. They ended up not being able to have this island because the guy who gave them the lease or
who owns the island was like,
"Yo, don't use his name."
Number one rule: don't mention his name. Pablo Escobar.
And in the ad video, that was the first thing they did.
So
the guy straight up didn't want to deal with any of it. He was like, "Nope, you can't have this island."
So they got kicked off the island.
Yeah, like so
immediately.
No arguing, no like trying to.
Their trailer is out. Sorry. They sell out and they have no island.
Yeah.
Because they got themselves kicked off.
And they try to find a whole bunch of different islands along the Bahamas and they can't. And they find finally like almost like going to Florida and going to the tip of Florida is what they found.
Oh, really?
Because it was like the tip of like this bigger island, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, in the Bahamas.
So it was like the very edge of the island. Yeah, like, they were like, "We'll give you that."
Yeah,
but they hired this woman who worked there, mm-hmm. and she ended up, you know, she believed in the cause, and mm-hmm. she was like, "This is gonna bring so much money to it." They're saying that they could possibly do this every year,
right?
Like, what a great
right. She was also sold the other side of this illusion, right? Yeah,
that it was gonna bring so much profit to the Bahamas, which they don't make a lot of money.
No,
we always see it as like, "Oh, we wish that we could go to the Bahamas," you know. But the people that live in the Bahamas don't live on
$4 a day.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's tragic, but. She gave up all her life savings.
Mm-hmm. To pay back the people that didn't get paid by these motherfuckers on that island. Because
she was like, "Well, I gotta feed so many people." And it ended up being a shit ton of people that ended up going.
Yeah.
And all of them, obviously, hungry.
Yep.
I'm hungry 3 times a day.
Right. Like, I'm not at a music festival.
I'm not there.
Right. I'm not at an island. Been drinking and partying all day. Yeah.
So... And I feel bad for her. Like, I feel like she got super fucked, and so did the other people that worked really hard.
That entire island got fucked by these assholes.
Oh, so hard.
Right. And that is one thing that I don't think the documentary does a good enough job dealing with.
Yeah, it deals with the glamour of what Billy McFarlane goes through and, like, what he continues to go through. Right.
Yeah, that is the craziest part.
But it doesn't really stay. I think that would be the more interesting documentary to watch. What did this do for that island?
Right.
Like, what happened after?
Right.
For these people.
Right.
Who, like, didn't get paid.
Yeah.
And they were doing, like, tons of overtime.
Yeah, weeks of their life spent, like, building this, essentially, concentration camp.
Oh, my God, yeah.
For this music festival. And then, like, at the end, they're like, "Yeah, no, we actually don't have any money. We're not going to be able to pay you at all. Thanks, bye."
Yeah.
And they're just like, "What?"
And... For the lady who was cooking for everybody, Marianne Roll, I felt so bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
But then after doing a little bit of research, I don't feel so bad for her anymore.
She GoFundMe or something?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
She did a GoFundMe and did, like, the goal was $123,000.
Uh-huh.
Super exceeded that.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. So now she's like, "I'm good. Thank you.
It's good. Yeah. I built the new island."
Yeah. Because, dude, she worked hard. Ass off, and I don't care.
Reopen the GoFundMe this documentary's out.
And I feel bad because the picture that became super famous was that, like, the sandwich with the cheese and the lettuce.
Yeah,
but you didn't see all the other stuff that she was cooking.
Oh, I'm
either.
Sure that wasn't like even hers.
No, I'm sure. But I saw another picture from that, and it looked like good food. Like it looked like good authentic Jamaican food.
I'm sure
was what it was, and I was like, why didn't we see this picture?
Yeah, that wasn't the. I think it...
There's nothing good from the festival, so that's why we didn't see that picture.
Right.
You know?
No, I think... Oh, you're saying in the documentary, why didn't we see what their actual food were, like, other options and that,
like,
kind of stuff?
Yeah, I guess...
Well, I think that picture just so encapsulated the other side of the festival, not her involvement, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, but... Because I think that was, like, a snack that they were given... That was like their first dinner or something.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know how that became it. But
they got a
Yeah.
So bad. Yeah, so, oh, let's dive into what he does after all of this goes down. So the festival is a complete disaster.
All these influencers are super mad.
Pissed off. So they gather all of the people who are the most of self-obsessed, pay them basically to come here and have cameras pointed at their face the whole time. And then they all witness the disaster together. And so everybody knows immediately. So the big secret is don't tell anybody that this festival is a disaster. And the only people there want to tell everybody what's going on.
Yeah.
It's this beautiful irony happening.
I laughed really hard when they cut to this video. I forgot who he was, but he's a comedian. And he was being interviewed on like what his thoughts were on the Fyre Festival. And he was like, these kids got $8,000 to go see Blink 182.
Oh yeah, they pay $8,000 to see him.
Like, man, they deserve this.
Yeah,
like,
I don't feel bad at all.
No, and I completely agree.
Yeah, if you had $15,000 to just fucking burn on going to a festival that looked fake from the beginning,
that was way too good to be true.
100%.
Way too good to be true.
Yes. You were sold you were sold snake oil, right?
I mean, this was the American way. They also straight up lied to the people, because there was a ticket of partying on a yacht with Kendall Jenner, you know? But even then, you're just like, is this I would like send a message to like Kendall Jenner and her reps and be like, is this real?
Are you guys actually partying on this date?
Because I'm thinking of purchasing.
Yeah, there's supposed to be like a cruise ship docked nearby so people could stay there and then also come to the island.
No, that was one of the
solutions,
and he said no.
He said no.
Because Billy McFarland just is...
Billy McFarland, yeah. So after all this shit hits the fan, right, people are upset. I don't think anybody died. Did anybody die?
I don't think so, but honestly, maybe
close.
It could have happened.
Could have happened.
Yeah.
He is on parole, basically, right? He gets out on bail of like $300,000 or something, and like, he goes
small
through
amount,
this...
Small amount, by the way.
Yeah, small amount of $300,000.
Yeah.
He's like back at his penthouse, cooking up another scam.
Yep.
Just right back at it.
Mm-hmm. Going as like
hires
his
a new
alias.
Camera crew.
Yeah, cameras another person, and is like, you are my face.
Yeah.
For
has a new, yeah, exactly. Has some Frank. Friends come in. Yeah. Has his own pseudonym plus another person who's going to be in front of the camera now.
Yeah.
So he's fully aware that he's not allowed to do this.
Oh, and the face of this new like fraud business going on is wearing a sweater that's like Fyre. And wearing a hat that's Magnesis. So it's like both of the failed companies. And
are
it's just
serious?
Like, yeah, don't you remember that?
I did
he,
not.
Like, they
I
take
didn't
a picture of him and he's like wearing the sweater with like Fyre on it. And then wearing the hat with the card company.
I can't think of an analogy of like somebody so brazenly like displaying their failures like that.
I just want to know what kind of psychology term this isn't like a psychopath, maybe a sociopath.
Sociopath potentially, like,
but like
he's got some like delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be some sort of psychological term for this, because nobody says that he's not like, you know, the like leader of Scientology where he'll like beat somebody up.
Right,
you
right.
Know,
he doesn't seem like abusive.
He seems
or
kind of like charismatic.
He just
and nice.
Seems obsessed with stealing people's money.
Yeah, he's obsessed with money. That's what it is.
Yeah, he's entirely driven by his own greed and is not looking for a way to earn money. He's looking for a way to like find money.
Yeah,
and like you
he's
know,
a shark.
Pull, yeah, exactly.
He's, yeah, completely.
He's a grifter. Yeah. So, this whole documentary, I found both enormously entertaining and extremely frustrating, because it's such a bad reflection on the current state of humanity. It's really like negative in that way, right? It's like, Jesus Christ, if this is the state of our world, burn everything down.
Yeah, and this is what we care about. We care about like social media,
right?
Like, this is where it's
influence
leading.
Right,
we care about influencers, we care about social media, we care about money, and that's it. We don't care about like, where are people gonna shit?
Right. These are important questions that we're overlooking.
We're just like plastic bags everywhere, you
I
know?
I guess that's good enough,
you know? Like, just, it's so sad.
It is difficult from that angle. So, like, if you're Sorry, I'm so burpy from all of those liquids. It's difficult because if you're feeling pretty apathetic and, like, misanthropic about humanity, this will only add fuel to the fire.
Don't watch this.
But if you're, like, genuinely, like, what the hell happened with this music festival? Or you're, like, interested in, like, that kind of, crime drama.
If you want to create a business and you want to know what not to do.
If you want a laundry list of bad ideas, this is that movie.
Yeah. Because we all, like, there's a lot of characters in this show that will, I don't know, inspire you.
Mm. Interesting. What do you mean?
I'm talking about one person in particular.
Who?
The real...
Ja Rule?
Fuck Ja Rule. God, what is his name? There was one dude who is, like, the famous dude off of the show, and I want to use his actual name.
Wait. I'm trying to... think of who it is. The guy with the, like, the nice short trimmed beard,
the like older dark... gentleman.
Oh, with the scarf. What are we talking about?
Oh no, that was a creative director. Hold on. His name, as I'm looking it up right now.
Excellent podcasting.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying to find. Yeah, I can't. I can see the articles on him, but I can't. This
wait,
is what he looks
about
like.
The older... Oh, goodness gracious me, that guy?
Oh, jeepers.
Jeepers, Billy. What have you done this time? That guy.
There's a character, Silver Fox man, who is like...
Billy's mentor.
The perfect person to watch a PG movie with.
So true. He is himself a PG movie.
Until he turns rated R real quick.
Yeah, that's true. He got real fed up at the end there talking about what's going on.
But he's a real one, and he's somebody that you would definitely want on your team because he is willing. He will go the extra mile. When people interview him at work and they're like, tell us about a time that you went above and beyond.
Have you heard of the Fyre Festival?
And he's like, I was willing to suck dick for my job.
I was ready to drive over there to save this thing.
Yes.
That didn't work anyways.
But quote, he was ready to
suck
S a D.
Yes. That was stated explicitly in the film.
Maybe twice, maybe three times.
It was hilarious. Yes. Good for him. You know, he's willing to give it his all, I guess. I don't know. Weird that Billy would, like...
tell him you need to do this.
Like...
that's like
this is the only option.
The only option. That's a crazy thing. That's you know, he might be a little sociopathic now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Who says that as like the boss?
Yeah.
And you're like, I need you to do me a favor in order
to
save
our company.
Hey,
you're my mentor. Can you drive over somewhere and suck someone's dick so that this thing works? What?
Sure.
Yes, I will definitely do that.
Yeah.
It is interesting to see the group of people who all kind of got swindled by this cult of personality. So it does remind me of like watching documentaries about cults.
Yeah,
because he
definitely
is such like that leader personality.
He has that power over people.
But it's a different type of cult. It's like a corporate cult, basically.
Oh, that's
it's like
perfect.
A business.
Oh my god, that's such a... I don't know.
That's a good title. I like that.
Yeah, corporate
cult.
What?
It's hard to say.
Corporate cult. Corporate cult.
But it also feels sort of like a heist, you know, like movie where it's like this thing is going to happen
gonna
at a certain
is
time.
Is it not going to work? Yeah.
How is the plan going to go?
Yeah. Because there is a timer during this documentary. So it's like 3 days left.
Right.
Because
5 weeks
all
the
social
festival.
Media that was posting was like.
They were so consistent with their social media too. That is one of the other things I was blown away by. It was like they were having those posts coming out every day. They had a whole team of people like getting people to go to this thing that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
For so long, they knew it wasn't going to come together.
I think also, if you're somebody who works in that industry of social media, this is definitely something that you need to watch. I feel like this will be taught.
Sure. Yeah.
This will definitely be taught later when people are studying, I don't know, is there going to be a course on being an influencer?
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe, but more than anything, just like having a business and using social media to your advantage on that business.
And the wrong ways to go about doing
what not to
do. If you're trying to sell a product, actually have a product to sell. It's a good place to start.
or the facts. You know, this is like selling a car and saying, oh, you know, it's a
it's got four doors. An incredible music video with a car.
Yeah.
And not have a car to sell.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to run. Right. It doesn't have to have a motor, and you can have an amazing music video with a car in it.
Right. And it's convincing as hell. And
but trying to sell $25,000
tickets.
No, I was going to say cars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think because they had, what, like 500 people coming? But then they had another, like, booked, like, another 200 or 300 influencers as well. Like, they were expecting 800 people to show up for this festival. Plus artists, plus those groups of people, without consideration for any of the infrastructure.
Oh, and they had, like, a plus one. Like, they could have a plus one and all of that. Like, they didn't think about any of that stuff.
None of these numbers were even considered.
A luxury villa.
It was only considered for the dollar amounts. Like, that's what's clear, is that they had a goal of, like, how much money are we trying to make here? 5 million? Okay, so we got to sell this many of this price tickets, this many of twice that many price tickets, right? So it's like, at no point did anybody go, can we actually do that on this island?
If I were working for
it was
for
the
this...
plane guy. It was the pilot who said, hey, can you actually fit that many people on this island? And all of them were like, oh my
God. Get out.
We never even thought of that. Sir, you need to leave.
Yeah. I feel, sadly though, I feel like if I were part of this crew and they were telling me all those numbers and everything, I'd be like, that works. I would just trust. I think I would just trust people who were above me to be like, oh, they've got it, though. All I have to do is try to make it happen.
Yeah, but if you're one of those people on the island making it happen.
Yeah, but I think that's what caused a lot of the downfall, is that they were giving numbers and that they were giving, like, prices and stuff. And their crew was trusting them. And they were like, oh, they'll make it happen. All I have to do is make sure that I get tents up.
Yeah.
You know.
You're talking about the people on the island who
are
actually
doing the
work?
I'm just talking about, like, simple people like me. Simple people like me that aren't, like, you know, the executive of that business.
Right.
Who's not like, oh, we need to stop this right now. This isn't going to work.
Right. But if you're setting up the first tent of what's supposed to be 5,000 tents, and you look out and there's clearly not enough space for 5,000 tents... How long do you think you're going to be putting up tents?
But if my boss told me it's possible, I did the math, then I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, but the problem is that the pilot, when he asked that,
everybody's
reaction was, gee, I didn't even think about that. So if any of those workers was like, I don't think this many tents is going to fit, and they said, I did the math, I would have been like, can you show me? Because I don't think the math ever got done.
No.
And that is the craziest part about this whole festival, is this is all entirely money-making game. Like,
a group of creative people, and if you know anything, is that if you put only a group of creative people and not a group of, you know, some people with...
Republicans who will just get some shit done instead of arguing about it.
or mathematicians.
Right,
or
right.
Or anybody who, like, likes numbers.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to get shit done.
No. You got to have that group dynamic that, you know,
is split. It has to balance.
It has to have a balance. And they did not have a balance. No. They had one cult leader and a whole bunch of sycophants.
And Ja Rule. Who is just a hype boy.
They had, like, a little mini hypercut of him, like, clinking beer bottles in the middle of that. That was so funny. Like, you just see Ja Rule, like, on the beach, clink bottles, like, six different beer bottles, like, just toasting with people, like, hey, man, clink.
Dude,
new
he's
bottle,
just here
different
for
place.
The party.
Clink. Yeah. He was 100% on board for the party and the fraud.
And as you said, he is, like, 100% my cousin Jonathan, who's just there for the party.
So true.
Which I was like, yeah, you're right. Uh-huh. He's here for the party.
Just there to party.
I don't blame him.
No, but, I mean, you
but
gotta...
But when you're the head of that whole
thing...
You kind of
wish there was
face,
a little bit more, you know, thought given to any choices.
You wish in a way that he was like Jay-Z, who's like an actual businessman, who's like, no.
Yes. Like, it was Killer Mike doing some things down in the Bahamas. There would be, you know, stages built.
Well, instead, it's just,
dude.
It's just Ja Rule.
Yeah. Ja Rule, man.
Oh, man.
They do not paint him well in this picture, but I don't know that there's a good way to paint Ja Rule. I don't think...
What I would be without my baby...
I don't know any Ja Rule
no,
music,
no, no,
too.
No,
that's the best part.
Crazy.
I don't...
And every time he's a lady.
Something like that.
Do you think he got super buff and then just has to, like, maintain, does, like, a half-hour workout a day? Or do you think he, like, fits in a full, like, 2-hour or 3-hour workout every day, Ja Rule? Because he was jacked.
Oh, and this? Really? That's how he's looked like since...
He's always looked that way?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It's a question I have. Because if you're partying all the time, hungover shit... I think it's probably
part of his, like, daily routine.
He just does.
When you're a celebrity and when you're, like, you know, a person in the public eye...
How do they find the motivation?
I think it's...
Maybe it's after the 6th 0 on your check.
Yeah.
That's the motivation.
Yeah, I think it's part of your job description.
Sure, yeah.
That you have to stay fit.
Yeah.
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 Hence why I'm not fit right now.
Yeah. Nobody's paying me to look nice. That's good. Because would not be making a lot of money, let's be real.
Oh, if somebody paid me to look good, I'd be on it.
Oh, I would do my best.
Yeah. I would do my best.
All I could ever do, baby.
It's true.
Do you have any more thoughts about this just bonfire of a documentary?
Fun. It was fun. It was fun to watch.
There are definitely fun moments. There are definitely fun parts where I was just cringing. Like, yeah. It's fun to watch a whole bunch of idiots be idiots together sometimes.
It's fun because
I
was never there.
Right. It has no burden on me.
Because I never have to deal with it.
Right. The suffering that they caused is either out of the documentary or just doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. I had a panic attack just a couple days ago on, like, something, like, minimal.
Right.
I can't imagine having a panic attack because I'm like, the FBI is looking for me because I frauded a whole bunch of people out of, like, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Because the festival, like, that I thought I was working on didn't actually come together.
Like,
yeah,
like, that shit is real.
That's panic
for
conducing.
Somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And not me. And I get to just watch that and sit on my couch comfortably.
And it ends with 90 minutes for you.
Yeah, like, I'm like, all right. So that's why I think
meanwhile,
it's fun.
Billy McFarlane, you know we're going to hear from him again.
Yeah, he's going to be frauding somebody else. And that's what's frustrating is the fact that this, like, you know,
bottom-dwelling shark,
somewhat well-connected man can just go in and out and never really have to deal with what he's done.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet there's people in jail right now because they had some possession of weed.
Right. Illegal drug.
Woo! That's a whole nother topic. But anyway, this was fun.
Yeah. If you need some distraction and a reminder of how shitty millennials can be sometimes.
Yeah.
This is the documentary for you.
Yeah. But I don't know. I recommend it to people who are just trying to waste 90 minutes. Who are like,
quote of the day.
Let me see.
It's not fraud. It's, what is it? False?
It's false advertising.
False advertising.
Whatever. I get where he came from.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, I can sell a shitty movie to you.
Yeah.
It's false advertisement. It's not fraud. But what he was doing was definitely fraud.
Except when you actually commit fraud.
Then it's real. Yes.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah, that might be the best quote. Also, you know, this one sparks joy.
Yeah. Does this spark joy? Yeah, fire documentary sparks joy for me, I would say.
The music festival that never happened.
Yeah, thank God.
Now I'm going to go watch the Hulu one because I'm just interested.
Yeah, I'm curious how that plays out. Yeah, this one was made by Vice. That one was made by people that do more like tragic, crime, dramatic like documentaries. They did, like, done stuff on like Trayvon Martin, like all of these like untold kind of investigated crime story angles. I bet it's much more reserved, but could be interesting. I think it does a better picture of painting the Billy story and showing you how much of a cunt that guy is versus just the fire festival.
Yeah. Well, out of my rating, I would say maybe just a like a B.
What could have been better about it?
I
would say B+. So I agree with you largely.
I don't know. I mean It did a really good job of making it all seem really pretty and stuff.
Yeah. It didn't really deal with the consequences.
I was expecting to see a little more of the consequences.
Yeah.
From the actual festival goers.
Right.
Like, yeah, they said they locked him up in a little place and they locked him up for 24 hours with no
water,
no food.
Yeah, through that.
But they, like, didn't go into that. I was like, dude, that's not okay.
Right.
How did no one press charges?
That is called
kidnapping. Of a huge group of people. Yeah. But they just locked him.
Yeah,
they
that were like, festival. Yeah. Like, Billy McFarland is responsible for kidnapping like 100 people.
Yeah, and we don't discuss that. I think I wanted more of their side of the story and less of the creator's side of the story. Sure. Because we got a lot of the people involved mm-hmm. in the making of mm-hmm. it. And we only had like, I feel like a third
yeah.
of that.
I wish there was like 20 more minutes of documentary. That
but then really... again, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't have to listen to all those influencers yeah, and
whining and shit. Maybe yeah. that's what they tried to do. They tried and to put all, they're like, just like, this is a oh, whiny is pile of shit.
Yeah, yeah, it's just them bitching.
I lost $14,000. Like,
dude,
somebody donated $11,000 for me to come, and like, that money is just gone.
Real quick, some people lost like over $800,000, which is
$800,000.
Dude, remember they like had the bracelets, so there was like a money system.
Oh where, my god! That's
where
right.
instead of having like ATM cards and like whatever, they had a bracelet that they could just scan right. on something and spend of fraud. Money.
I forgot.
So they were like, "You better like put money on it now before you go on the island." And somebody straight up put $800,000 on that bracelet. Remember they said that?
Yeah, no,
right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the booze, and was it 800 or 80?
I thought it was 800, but it could have been 80. Regardless. Either way, that's a shit ton of money.
For food and drink for a festival this weekend?
I could pay for my car 8 times.
I haven't made $800,000 in my entire life. Maybe I've made 80. Maybe
yeah,
I've made
maybe.
80.
Maybe.
And you're going to burn that on booze this weekend? Excuse me?
Yeah, you deserve this weekend is what I feel for
Fire
those people.
Festival.
Like, you deserve...
Yeah, you just yeah, exactly. I think everybody that was there and a part
I
of it
I hope they got
was,
a wake up call.
Yeah, deserved
I hope
this
more than
call.
Anything they were like, "Oh shit, I need to like check my facts. I need to know is it worth it?
Research might be a good idea before I spend
Am I going to be happy?
Grand.
Yeah. Is it going to buy me happiness?
Does this bring me joy? Does yeah. this spark joy?"
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for having this discussion with me and yeah. sitting down and talking
and
with
thank
me.
You all for listening.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
We hope that you'll enjoy our next episode. We don't know exactly what it is yet, but
yeah, we need to find something.
It's gonna be something.
We spend a lot of the week going, we need to watch something, and then we don't.
Or we do and we watch something we've already seen.
Very true. We watch The Office and
Rick and Morty.
Yeah, Rick and Morty, yeah. All right. Enough of that. We'll see you next time on Netflix Has No Chill.
Netflix Has No Chill.